back. Thank you for joining us for another episode of the podcast, Come Over for Dinner. I am so glad you're here. Today, I have Kimberly joining me. She is a mom of four kids, four young adults, I should say. Some of them are in their teens. And so she feeds hungry kids, her family, as well as guests. Welcome, Kimberly.
Thank you.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about yourself. You moved from, well, you live in the Northwest, and you were in Seattle for a while. Mm-hmm. So tell me a little bit about that.
We spent about 6 years in the Seattle area while my husband worked for Starbucks. And then we moved up to Canada, where my family is. We stayed there for a few years and then moved back down to Washington to be in a inner city gang ministry. We were there for almost 10 years and then moved back to Canada so my husband could finish a degree. And while we were there, COVID happened. So we were praying for a way to be in another place that was a bit more free. And the Lord opened the door for us to come here.
Okay, and here is actually in Moscow, Idaho. It's a small college town on the western border of Idaho. I should know this. I'm teaching second grade currently. I need to know my north, south, west, and east. I've been teaching the kids. Let's back up to the inner city gang ministry.
Yes.
You mentioned to me earlier that it was called Madison House in Yakima, Washington,
yep.
Which is a great ministry. Tell me a little bit about this. I'm sure you have some interesting hospitality stories when it comes to inner city gang members.
Yes. We worked for a ministry that dealt with the children and the siblings of gang members. We were in after-school programs, so we provided dinner for the children every night, Monday through Friday. Tutoring, I was in charge of the little kids' tutoring room, after-school sports and Bible studies and camp. So,
wow. So did you cook dinner every single night?
No, there was a different ministry that provided food, but I helped get the kitchen set up, the dishes done, the kids served.
Well, you need a team if you're, yes. You're serving kids every yes. hungry kids yeah. every single night. But cooking or hospitality, serving others involves a lot more than just the cooking of the food. The cleanup yeah. afterwards and the food prep, the buying the groceries. Wow, that mm-hmm. can at least double your time.
Yep.
So that's a wonderful ministry. So now you have moved to Idaho, mm-hmm. and your husband is chief operations officer at New St. Andrews College.
Yes.
And you are helping with some of the events, mm-hmm. serving just during different events that are thrown for the students that are there. She's helped with the freshman breakfast and the faculty dinner and various events like that. So, again, involved in food prep, but a lot of cleanup.
Yes.
A lot of serving and cleanup. So she is very experienced when it comes to hard work. She is going to share with us one of her favorite menus for inviting people over. So right now, currently you invite families over.
Yes.
That's your way of having people or showing hospitality is by inviting families to your home mm-hmm. to enjoy a meal with your family. So tell us when you are thinking of something to make, what pops into your head?
Well, my go-to, if it's the first time I've had somebody over, I generally make a Tuscan chicken stew. And I've been making that now for about 3 or 4 years. And I found it in some little recipe book for an Instapot. And I've made it my own after time.
Sure.
Always have a sourdough loaf to share.
Do you make homemade sourdough bread?
I do. My sourdough starter is named Myrtle.
I might need to meet yeah. Myrtle.
She's pretty awesome. I love her.
I do not have a sourdough starter.
No, I will share some.
Back in the day, my grandmother had a neighbor across the street, mm-hmm. and she made sourdough cinnamon rolls.
Oh,
and
those
so,
are the best.
Oh, I didn't know anything about sourdough bread, but every time I visited my grandma, mm-hmm. I was hoping that the neighbor knew we were coming because she would always make sourdough cinnamon yeah. rolls. So I feel like the tradition needs to continue.
Yes.
Myrtle and I need to talk.
Yes, you do.
Okay, so sourdough bread.
Mm-hmm. And then just a simple green salad with a vinaigrette and a robust red wine.
Okay.
And so, and then for dessert, I generally make an apple crumble or a berry crumble, and never ice cream. Because if you have children over and they hear your KitchenAid going to make whipped cream, there is more joy over that than there is ice cream. So
real whipped cream.
Real whipped cream.
Although they probably would jump for joy over the canned stuff too.
Oh, yeah, yeah, because then you can squirt it in their mouths. Yes. But there's something about real.
The real is my favorites for sure. I love real whipped cream.
Yeah.
Okay, so you said you have made it your own, so the recipe that I post, it has all of your updates and changes?
Yeah,
okay.
It does.
All right. Oh, it sounds delicious. And soup weather is coming.
Yes.
So fall is the end of August. The very last day here has decided to go over 100 degrees for us in the Northwest, and it's a bit of a shock and a surprise to those who live here.
Uh-huh.
For me, I grew up in the South, so this feels like home. But I'm looking forward to soup weather.
Yes.
Okay, so that was your favorite menu. Mm-hmm. I will post this on everybody. Anytime you want a recipe, you can go to my website. It's just the same name as the podcast, comeoverfordinner.com. Mm-hmm. And it has the recipe you can print off, as well as maybe comments and other tips. And her favorite item is coming up, so stay tuned. All right, when you're looking for cooking inspiration, so this is a particular menu that you've mentioned, but let's say you've made that and you're having somebody else the next week and you want to make something different, where do you look for your cooking inspiration?
I really love going to the website Farmhouse on Boone.
Is Boone B-O-O-N?
E.
Oh.
B-O-O-N-E.
Oh, yes. Okay. Kind of like Daniel Boone?
I think so, yes.
Okay.
she has 7 children. She cooks big and simple, but it's always delicious and nourishing. And I think when you come around the table with people, whether you know them well or not, there's something comforting about food that isn't fussy, that
right.
You can
kind of comfort food.
Yes.
And
yeah.
Maybe you mentioned that term.
Mm-hmm.
Is this a blog with
yeah.
like a food blog?
Kind of, yeah. She's a homesteader. I'm not a homesteader, even though I want a cow in my backyard. But
I want a horse in mine.
But I love her philosophy of food and her love of children and family. I think she's a believer. I'm not sure, though.
Okay. Very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have to look this up. I have never heard of this. So this is why I'm interviewing her. I love finding new tips and new inspiration,
mm-hmm.
especially if it's tried and true. If you've gone and you're like, oh, I've found numerous recipes here or numerous new ideas or techniques. It's really fun.
Her blog is the one that helped me hone in on my sourdough technique as well. She has a whole section on sourdough. So,
well, I need to get to reading. Homework.
Yeah.
What about a shopping tip? When you are hosting your crowd, which is 6,
mm-hmm.
plus another family, you're probably maybe at 12, mm-hmm. maybe more if they have more kids or if you have more than one family.
Yeah.
What is your best shopping tip?
Walmart pickup. And I think it helps that you can focus in on what you need. Because when I go to the grocery store, I can get distracted at all the aisles. Oh, maybe I need this too. If I go Walmart pickup.
And if you have kids shopping with
yes.
you, they will definitely get distracted.
Yes,
on
they will.
On the sugary cereal aisle, potentially uh-huh. the whipped cream can aisle.
Yep, the candy aisle.
The candy aisle. The other, you know, what's really fun about, you know, one of the benefits that came out of 2020,
mm-hmm.
there are a lot of negative things, but one of the pros of 2020 was pickup everywhere.
Yes.
So wherever you shop, it is very likely that they have jumped on the bandwagon. Walmart has it, Target has it, and a lot of the smaller grocery stores are doing it as well. So check and see if your grocery store does it. My husband recently went to it's Safeway up here, Albertsons in the South.
Mm-hmm.
And he, I don't know if he had a conversation with the cashier or what, but he came in the door with a pile of groceries and he said, "Did you know that they do pickup? I could order online and they bring it out to your car." Well, babe, you're about 2 years late. But yes, I actually have not done it through that store, so I need to remember to do that, because they offer some great sales. Their sale ad comes out every week, and you can check the sale ad, and that helps with the budget. So anyway, okay, so that's your best shopping tip. Mm-hmm. I would concur. I do love being able to order groceries in my pajamas late at night, even if it's 11 p.m. and I have work the next day, I can slam out a quick grocery order and have it, you know, you can schedule your time. They can deliver when you're going to be home. All right. What is your best cleaning tip? We've talked about you being very experienced at this, hosting large amounts of people.
Yes. Having stations, making sure that people know exactly what they're supposed to be doing to clean. Different seasons, this is more difficult, but there is a website called Clean Mama.
And how's Mama spelled?
M-A-M-A.
Okay.
And she, every month, she comes out with a new calendar, and she lays out every station that needs to be cleaned and what your daily rhythm should be.
So is this a chore, like a chore chart for kids every single day?
It's not even for kids. It's just like a regular calendar page.
Okay.
And then each day she has what you should be, like, sweeping, mopping.
Okay.
Kind of thing.
So you're breaking down the tasks even for yourself.
Yeah. Like Tuesday's bathroom day.
Right.
So different seasons is harder to follow, but I think if you're consistently following the system, by the time you have guests over, you aren't scrambling to clean up your whole entire house.
Right. You haven't
plus
waited.
Make dinner.
Right. You haven't waited. If they're coming Friday night, you haven't waited till Thursday to do everything.
Or even Friday at 3, which has happened.
That's when the house is not going to be perfect.
Yep.
You clean the bathroom.
Yep.
Hot tip. Just clean the toilet. That's all you need to do. Okay, very good. And do your children jump in? How do you get them involved?
My younger two have very specific chores around the house. And then my older two, when I have to do specific jobs, I'll pull them in to help me. But I try and get them more into the rhythm of what I'm doing. So my younger son and daughter thrive on the consistency of, I know what I have to do this week.
Sounds really good. And her children are 9 to 16. And so sometimes when you have very young children, you might feel like, oh, they're underfoot. But even those children can be given small jobs, small tasks.
Dusting.
So, yes. So what are some of the ways that you pulled them in when they were younger? So your youngest right now is 9, but, you know, it wasn't very long ago. Let's say they were 4 or 5, you know. So dusting was one of the jobs you gave them?
I'll be honest. I struggled with it. I struggled with trying to figure out how to incorporate little ones. But the simple ones, like dusting, wipe the windows, clean the mirrors. One of my kids loved washing the toilets, so it wasn't perfect.
Right.
But I didn't have to do it.
Right. Hey, anybody that loves washing the toilet, hats off to you.
That's
you can
changed.
Have the job. They no longer want that job.
Yeah.
They no longer fight over that job.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a great idea. And really, depending on, you know, what you're doing or what day it is, you know, younger kids, giving them a small job and making them feel important and like they're helping, whether it's dusting or something else you can think of, is so important.
Yeah.
I remember I have one daughter, and I remember her on a stool, a chair, standing at the kitchen sink, and she was so proud because she was washing the dishes.
Oh.
And somehow I had the bright idea just to give her a pile of plastics. So if she dropped it or and they were already clean, don't tell. Samantha, hope you're not listening. I had just pulled them out of the cabinet, given her some plastic cups and plates or whatever we had, you know, a few things where she could just stand there on her chair and wash dishes while I was cooking. And, oh, she was just so proud. But it was also, you know, good training, good practice for when she really was doing it. It really did count, and I really did need the dishes or the plates clean.
Yeah.
So, all right, very good. What is your best advice for showing warm hospitality to those coming into your home? How do you make your home warm and welcoming?
Okay. I have two tips. The first one is just my piano is near my kitchen table. And on top of my piano, I have a blackboard resting. And most of the time, there's a Bible verse or something on it. But when we have company, I love to put welcome to our friends, then whatever their last name is. And whether they notice or not, it's a way to show that we have thought of them beforehand, before they walk through our doors. And the second one is preparing your children to also welcome people in. We moved 4 times in 22 months before we got here. And yes, and it was kind of a shell shock to my kids. And so as I encourage them to welcome others in, I remind them, you know what it's like to feel like the new person.
Sure.
So how would you like to be welcomed in? Mm-hmm. So we focus on that. Show them your art, show them your cars or toys or books or something, just to draw people in.
That is a great tip. Both of those. I feel like the chalkboard, writing the family's name, that would mm-hmm. be meaningful to the adults, but it's exciting to the kids.
Yes.
You know, especially young ones who are just learning how to read.
Mm-hmm.
They see their name in lights.
What?
That's us. That's me. Mom, Dad, do you see? And then, yes, teaching your children how to be a host or a hostess. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's invaluable, because that's a skill that they will need later in life. Mm-hmm. And they do need to realize that it's not all about them. Mom and Dad are opening their home, but they have a role as well. Mm-hmm. I know we moved in the last year, and my son was new to the school. And, of course, he had kids there who were welcoming him. And there was one particular teacher who, she told me later, after we'd moved, she said, last summer we knew, at the end of the school year, before summer started, mm-hmm. she told her class, we have a new kid starting next year. And when he comes, I want you to make sure that you welcome him and you show him around the school or whatever. I don't know what her pep talk was. So he went to school last year. This is his second year. So when he started, there's a lot of new kids at school. Mm-hmm. I reminded him, you're not the new one anymore. Yeah. And so I want you to remember the things that really made you feel comfortable walking down those halls. You don't know, it's Greek to you. You don't know where the lockers are, how they're numbered, what classroom you're supposed to go to. You know, remember those times that kids reach out to you and really made you feel welcome, and do the same for another student.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So in the home, I think that's really important as well.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What is your must-have kitchen item, and where can we find it?
I have two. The first one is parchment paper. And I suggest getting the brown parchment paper, not the white stuff from Walmart. I'm sorry, Walmart. I love your pickup. Your parchment paper is terrible. I bake bread for communion.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, and I discovered that if you put the bread on the parchment paper, it bakes into it.
Really?
So I spend most of my time like ripping off the parchment paper and then having to cut off the bottom of the bread. So
the unbleached does not do that?
No, for whatever reason. Yeah, I'm not sure why.
If there's something to do with the chemical process,
maybe.
You know, because the white is bleached, which mm-hmm. the natural, you would think with food you would want. I mean, obviously the white is food safe, but... Hot tip, get the brown.
Yes.
Get the natural.
Don't get the white
parchment
stuff.
Paper.
And maybe other brands are different, but I find the one from Walmart just doesn't.
It's not the right.
No.
It doesn't work well with baking bread.
Yeah.
And pretty then the second.
Yeah. And then the second tip is just creativity. Don't be afraid to be creative with what you have. So we had a renter of ours stole most of our stuff in our home when he was house sitting for us. I guess he wasn't a renter, he was a house sitter. He was watching our house while we were in Canada for a year, and he ended up...
I think you would trust a house sitter even more.
So
wow.
When I came home, most of my kitchen things were gone. And so as I'm rebuilding my kitchen, I'm having to be creative with what I have. And you can do a lot with a lot of simple things. So,
okay, give us an example. Or is that, did I put you on the spot?
Oh, you might put me on the spot. I'm trying to think. I have more pots and pans. My mother-in-law gave me her mother's pots and pans this last 2 weekends ago.
Nice.
But for the most part, I had one pot and one Dutch oven.
Wow.
And that was it. And making dinners for people that we were having over, making dinners for our family, I was able to do a lot.
Mm-hmm. You're able to figure out how to use something different instead of that Dutch oven you really wanted to use instead.
Yes. So it works.
Okay, it works. Just out of curiosity, did this person ever say why he or she stole or sold all of your kitchen items?
No. No, they really didn't. So they had moved out by the time we got back to town to finish the sale of our house. So.
Okay, well, mystery to be solved.
Yeah.
Unsolved mysteries.
Yes.
You also need to tell us a story about your ministry to the inner city ministry.
Yes.
Tell us a story about that. You mentioned earlier to me that you had a funny story to tell.
Yes. I think this is what made me the most comfortable with hospitality. We lived on a street that had been nicknamed by both the people who lived in the inner city and the rest of the town as the hole. So it wasn't, I wouldn't call it the most safest neighborhood. There's a lot of gunshots at night. We knew when we could leave the house, the one to stay in.
Wow.
But I remember waking up at 5 o'clock in the morning to hear the names of our neighbors being called out and looking out our bedroom window and watching as these guys that we had worked with were laying down on the grass in front of our house one by one with the SWAT team surrounding them and very large guns trained on their backs. So we have been working with these kids for a while. And so some of them were high up in the gangs. So my husband and I went and we sat on the porch and we just prayed as we were watching. And for whatever reason, the police talked to these young men and let them go.
Wow.
And we wanted the police to know that we respected their position and their authority. I mean, they were taking care of our neighborhood. But my husband looked at me and he said, "You need to get breakfast ready." And I was like, I've never made something that fast before. And we had a different renter in the back of our home. And if she hears this, it wasn't you. You didn't steal our things. But she was renting our back apartment. And we had let her know what was happening. And she said, "I have eggs and I have bacon." And I said, "I have pancake and waffle mix. And we will just start making breakfast for all these young men." And Tony waited until the police left and then walked over and made sure that they were okay. And he said, "We'd like you to come over for breakfast."
And what a great opportunity to minister right then when they're scared, potentially. Mm-hmm. They're scared. Yeah. They were facing jail, arrest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I made sure as I set out the table that I used my best plates. I used my best cutlery, my best glasses. Because what better way to show people that they're loved by then using your best. And we were able to share breakfast with them and pray over them and share the gospel. And some have turned their lives around and some are still walking down a really horrible path. But my prayer has always been that as people have gathered around our table, that they know that they're loved.
Mm-hmm. And you've planted the seed.
Yeah.
You've planted the seed. You've shown them what love is. You've shown them what a home is. Yeah. You've shown them what a family is.
Yeah.
And for some people that you invite into your home, she obviously has a very clear example of that. You know, gang members who are looking for, a lot of times kids join gangs because they don't have a family.
Yeah.
They're looking for acceptance somewhere else. Mm-hmm. So to be able to show that to someone, and it may not be a gang member for you, podcast listeners, but it could be a lonely neighbor or a kid, another student at your child's school that, you know, a teenager who doesn't have a good home or even, you know, maybe they're a latchkey kid or whatever. We all hear about situations where you think, in the back of your mind, maybe I should invite them over. And the answer is, you should.
Yep.
They need to see what a home, a family, and love looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, thank you so much for joining me today,
You're
Kimberly.
Welcome.
Thank you for sharing your recipe and so many fabulous tips. I can't wait to go and look up some of these things that you mentioned.
They're good.
All right, that's all for now. Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.